On the following Friday Compassion Radio broadcast, we conclude part three of one of the most popular series we've ever presented. Here now to get us started is the incomparable Dr. Norm Nelson.
I believe that most Christians in America today have a strong desire to serve the Lord effectively, and we want to invest our time, talent, and treasure wisely in things that are of the highest priority and that produce the greatest results. Do you want to know what those things are? Well, I can tell you.
Intrepid.
When God tells you to go, then everything works out. He provides.
Involved.
It is so exciting to see what God can do, and this is why there is so much hope.
International.
Compassion Radio allows the listener to get involved in projects that are going to change history.
This is Compassion Radio.
Are you in need of a boost? In the next 26 minutes, we're going to bring one your way. Welcome to Compassion Radio, the Boots on the Ground Daily Ministry Journal of God's amazing triumphs. Have you heard about what's going on in China lately? It's truly mind-boggling to know that people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ at a rate of 10 to 25,000 on a daily basis. For that reason alone, we're so excited to bring forth our God's Word for China project. But not all the news is so good from that faraway land. The jailing of pastors and the intense persecution of believers is still a daily reality. Today, Norm completes a three-part series with our guest, Brother Michael, whose name and voice we've altered, as you'll hear. Brother Michael lives a risky, by faith kind of life, and the stories he has to tell will enthrall you. Here's Norm to get us started.
In China today, there are 500 million children who are ready to hear about Jesus for the first time. And there are more people in China who are studying English than the entire population of the United States of America. Listen, my friend, on today's concluding program of our three-part The Church in China series, our guest, who's ministered in China for 13 years, is going to tell you about the exciting opportunities that abound in China for you and for me. Now remember, we're altering his voice, and we're calling him by the name Brother Michael, which is not his real name. And we're doing that to protect his identity and his ministry in China. Well, let's get started with Brother Michael. Can you think of several things that would be vital for us to understand that's going on in China right now among the Christians there that we could use that would be instructive to us and helpful to us if we could emulate them?
Norm, I think you've really hit a significant nail on the head. I want to say to the church in America, this is a two-way street. The scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, if one member suffers, all members suffer with it. If one is honored, all rejoice with it. It also tells us that we are to weep with those that weep. We are also told to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And so I think it's very important that we continue to step up to the plate and provide what we can to ease the suffering of the church in China. And we need to continue to answer their call. Come over and help us. Bring systematic discipleship teaching. Bring training for our leaders. Help us set up Bible schools. They're asking for this help. And this is much of what my wife and I are trying to do in our ministry to answer that call. But we should not lose sight of the fact that it is a two-way street and there is so much for us to learn from them. I think some of the significant factors are the great humility that I see at work in the Chinese church that is sometimes lost on us, and how much they value fellowship and times of intimacy with one another and with the Lord, how much of a premium they put on prayer. There's a beautiful song I wish there was time to share about 5 o'clock in the morning, China's dawn, the sound of prayer goes forth. Just a gorgeous song that explains what happens because 100 million sets of knees are bending at 5 o'clock in the morning in the nation of China. We have so much to learn from them about facing persecution, facing poverty, seeing the Lord as your source for all things, and going forward in faith. And we have a lot to learn from them, frankly, about evangelism. I'm not sure we know what it is. I think they do. They've gone from 1 million believers to 100 million believers in one generation. It's the greatest miracle of Christian growth in history.
Could I just interject something? They've gone from 1 million to 100 million without any marketing techniques.
Well, you know, I'm glad you bring that up, too, because this whole idea of seeker-sensitive sometimes is a thorn in my craw. What is seeker-sensitive in China? Is it a padded pew? And is it an air-conditioned sanctuary? Is it upbeat modern songs, and is it phrasing the gospel in terms that won't offend anybody? Well, I'm afraid it's not. It doesn't mean they aren't sensitive to the needs of others. But seeker-sensitive in China is be ready and willing to go into a village and find the person who's about to die of tuberculosis. Go lay hands on them, see them raised up into health, and you win a village. That's sensitive to their needs. That's seeker-sensitive. Now, you may offend some people. You probably will. You may actually even be arrested and persecuted because of it, let alone somebody having their little feelings hurt that you were bold for the gospel. But you might change the village. So that's kind of a pet peeve of mine, as you can tell.
Well, there is much that we can learn from the believers there. There are two other things that I want to ask you about, Brother Michael. One, we were talking earlier this morning in my office about what is strange to Americans is that there are members of the Communist Party in China who are believers. Now, to me, that's exciting. But I know that for some of our listeners, that might be kind of a strange idea. Could you address that?
Yes, Norm, I have personally led Communist Party members to the Lord.
Hallelujah.
And I personally walked right up to the edge of that scary moment and all those big theological questions in my mind. Can this person really become a Christian without first denouncing their Communist Party membership? And I think the answer to that is twofold. One, the Lord doesn't have a problem with it. God is interested in the hearts of those people. And you don't find Peter coming to Cornelius' house and saying, Cornelius, you can become a Christian, but first you got to be circumcised, because the Lord first dealt with him not to call unholy what the Lord calls holy. And I think we make a huge mistake if we would phrase our invitation to receive the gospel in this way. If you're willing to leave the Communist Party, you can become a Christian. So I've known very good people who were members of the Communist Party because they thought that was the only way they could have an influence in their society. Should we then judge them, or should we freely give to them the things that have freely been given to us? And so I've led people to the Lord where I explained to them, the Lord would accept you on his terms right now, which is strictly that the blood of Christ was shed for you, and that's sufficient, that's enough. You can become a Christian now, and take your time to sort out the issues of what you'll do about being a Communist Party member. So that's sort of one side. That's God's side of the issue. God accepts them. He does not accept them. He doesn't expect them. He ACC accepts them, you see.
Right.
On the other hand, I've had people that I've led to the Lord who were Communist Party members. One young man told me one time, and he was the head of a Communist Party youth league for a large university at the top levels of a province. It was the most well-known university in his province. And he was ready to become a believer, it seemed to me. And I asked him, when will you make this step to become a Christian? He said, well, let me put it in these terms. If the journey to being a Christian is a journey of 100 steps, I've taken 99 of them. Is that okay? And I said, yes, that is okay. But I am curious when you'll make that last step. And it became apparent in our conversation that the real problem that he was dealing with is that when he became a party member, a Communist Party member, he agreed that he would not become a religious believer. So God had no problem accepting him, but he was personally having a problem with his vow not to become a believer. So he's really wondering, can I still be a good communist and keep this vow not to be a believer and be a good Christian? So it was a personal time of decision for him. And he eventually did become a Christian, by the way, and decided that he needed to step out of his role in order to do that. But that's not up to us to put that on people. That's the Holy Spirit's work. It's up to us to offer the gospel to people. Whosoever will may come. Just as I am, I come, we often sing. Is it okay for them to come as Communist Party members? God's fine with it.
Praise God for that. I also, Brother Michael, want to ask you about your own ministry. It's taken us a while to get here, but what you are doing, obviously, is meeting a great need in China. Could you explain to our listeners what your ministry is all about now?
The work that we've been doing, Norm, for the last 4 or 5 years has primarily been focused on saying yes to requests that come from house church leaders in China when they ask for assistance. Some of the things that they've asked us for assistance with is systematic discipleship training programs. How do we systematically teach our people the Word of God? Because they've seen great harvest, they've seen a lot of people get saved, and then they've seen churches fall apart and people go back into sin because they were never properly taught. And that is probably the greatest need in China right now, discipleship training. They've also asked us to bring to them training for their leaders and for their workers. And so we've assisted in helping to set up Bible schools. We've assisted in translating a number of books to put in their hands, reference materials, devotional materials, books that they can read about to help solve particular theological problems that they're dealing with. And then we've also also been asked to help in bringing renewal and revival to some of the churches. The churches in China have been very affected by the evangelical movement, and that's wonderful. They're Bible-believing Christians. For the most part, they don't have huge problems with issues of liberal theology. But the problem is a little bit different. Sometimes they have a problem with a living faith. It sometimes becomes sort of a harsh, works-oriented, works-righteousness almost, legalism. And there's a great tendency towards that, I think partly because of the teaching that they've had, also partly because of some factors of their own culture and the harsh nature of what leadership means in any other realm in their culture in China. And so we've been asked to come in and to help to inject the message of grace, the message of faith in who Christ has made us to be, the message of working at rest in the Lord and relying on the power of the Holy Spirit to do the work of the kingdom. And so we've come in and we've done seminars like that all over China, and we've seen tremendous results. We've seen ministers who have served the Lord for many years come to tears and break down as they trade their motivation for ministry from works to a thankful response to God's grace at rest. And if I could touch on anything that I would call the greatest experience of our lives in China, it would be just that, seeing those wonderful moments where their lives are set free and their hearts are tuned into a new truth about the gospel, that indeed it is good news, not just when it's announced to a sinner, but it's good news for those of us that are continuing to seek the Lord on a daily basis, how we might serve Him.
Brother Michael, I would imagine that it would help your efforts if Christians in China had more Bibles. Our listeners are very much attuned to this issue, and we give them opportunities to give. We are giving them the opportunity right now to do that. Could you speak to that for us?
Yes. You know, the problem now is quite different than it was 15 or 20 years ago, when we heard about all the believers having to handwrite their Bibles and things like that. And that is really a picture that's sort of old, sometimes painted. And there are large areas of the church in China that they are supplied with Bibles, but there are also geographic areas that are isolated where they do not have the Bibles that they need. And so the problem still continues. So many people rightly assess it and say, well, the government is printing Bibles, many Bibles have been smuggled in, the problem's not near what it used to be. And I think to some degree that is true. But that doesn't change the fact that there are 10 to 25,000 new believers on average every day in China. So even if every believer in China today had a Bible, which they don't, there's a need for 25,000 Bibles a day. Now, the government is printing Bibles, and they've done something that I wouldn't call an admirable job necessarily, but they have stepped up to the plate and started to address the issue. The problem is that they've now cut back their quotas, and they're printing less Bibles this year than they were last. That is not, as they would have us to believe, because the needs are met. It's because they've made a decision that the church is growing too fast, and they've got to try to control it. So I'm glad that they're printing Bibles in China. There are also opportunities to print Bibles illegally in China. Some of that is being done. We've been able to help and assist in some of those ventures. There are also Bibles being carried into China. I think all three need to continue.
The story of Bibles in China is both simple and complicated, and that's what you'll discover when you really dig into the situation. We'll hear more with Brother Michael on the need for God's Word in China after this.
Let me call your attention to a key observation from Scripture. It comes from the 11th chapter of that very practical book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Here's the word: he who wins souls is wise. Now, my friend, just think about that. You and I are wise when we invest our time and our talent and our treasure in bringing the souls of men and women, boys and girls, into a right relationship to God through Jesus Christ. Now, that's why Compassion Radio invests in the greatest harvest of souls that the world has ever seen. We invest in providing copies of Chinese language Bibles for the house church believers in China. First of all, the church in China is growing faster today than any body of believers has ever grown since the Church of Christ began over two millennia ago. From fewer than 1 million members in 1949 to over 100 million members today. Second, there continue to be between 20,000 and 30,000 conversions to Christ every day in China. And then third, for every Bible that's given to a Chinese believer, there is strong evidence that at least five converts are won to faith in Jesus Christ. Then number four, over the years of our Operation God's Word project, Compassion Radio partners have given nearly 500,000 Bibles. My friend, that's nearly 500,000 Bibles to house church Christians. And that suggests that through this project, you, our partners, have helped to bring nearly 2.5 million Chinese souls to faith in Jesus Christ. When you consider that only 1 out of 2,000 Christians in China has access to a Bible in the rural areas of the country where most of China's population is, you can imagine how great is the spiritual hunger for God's Word in that nation. Now, here's how you can participate in Operation Operation God's Word.
For as little as $6, one Bible can be placed into the hands of a Chinese Christian who's requesting one. $60 provides 10 Bibles. $300 provides 50 Bibles. $600 provides 100 Bibles. And $1,200 provides 200 Bibles.
Now, wouldn't it be great if this year we could put 10,000 Bibles in the hands of Chinese Christians? Oh, my friend, during this year-end season, you can give the greatest gift of all, the Word of God. And you can give God's Word to Christians in China who are changing the world's most populous nation through the message of the gospel contained in that book.
Miracles are happening in China right now through the power of God's Word. You can help make that happen. Just give us a call. 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. Our mailing address is Compassion Radio, Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And we're online at CompassionRadio.com. We'll have that contact information for you again at the end of the broadcast. Right now, back to the program.
I was approached by one leader of a large network of house churches in a remote area of China, and I asked him that question, do all your people have Bibles? And he said, well, yes, because of the work that's happened over the last two or three years ago, we didn't, but now all of our people have Bibles. I said, so then you don't need Bibles? I said, I know about a place where maybe we could get some more. He said, oh, no, I wouldn't say that. He said, we have preached the gospel into another province in a very remote area up in the mountains. There are 10,000 new believers up there. None of them have Bibles. So my people's needs are met. But there's a field out there that we're reaching, and their needs aren't met. The ministry to children in China, and I have to be careful how I state things because my heart beats for China, but statistically, a ministry to children in China may be the most important ministry in the world today. Why do I say that? There are about 6.7 billion people alive on our planet right now. We estimate that 1.8 billion of those are Christian in one form or another, and about 3.3 billion are within the reach of a church there. They've heard the gospel, they've been introduced it, whatever reason, they're not believers. There's about 1.6 billion, though, Norm, still waiting for their first presentation of the gospel. 500 million of those are children and youth in China today, waiting for the gospel. They're forbidden by their government to receive the gospel. If you're under 18, I can't legally preach the gospel to you in China. Jesus said, suffer the little ones to come to me and don't forbid them. And he warns those that would forbid them. I wish I had opportunity to warn Jiang Zemin and other Communist Party leaders who I'm praying for. I think they're good people with good intentions, although they don't understand the religious issues. I wish I could have a conversation with them and warn them to be careful. Actually, they face something worse than the beatings that Sunday school teachers can face in China. They face a punishment that's worse than having a millstone hung around your neck and being cast in a sea because they're offending the children of China that need Jesus, that are forbidden to have him. There's no more important work that could be done on the earth today than to assist those in China who are reaching the children. I know some of these Sunday school teachers. Some of them have come to me with tears in their eyes as they pleaded with me, please have the church in America pray for us. We want to start Sunday school. We want to start children's ministry. We want to reach our children. The government speaks atheism into their minds and their hearts every day that they go to school. We want to speak Jesus and hope and life and salvation into their hearts when we have a chance. Will you bring training to us? Will you bring materials to us?
Well, it seems to me to be rather clear, Brother Michael, that if the Chinese government can keep the gospel from young people, Christianity will simply die out. The generations will pass, and the young people will not pick up the message of Jesus Christ, and it will disappear. We have the opportunity to reverse that strategy, don't we?
You're absolutely right, Norman. You've touched on good Marxist doctrine. Marx taught that the church, if left to itself, if it's not transferred to the younger generation, will die a natural death. Because it's the opiate of the masses. It's part of the evolution of society. You know, we're destined to go on from capitalism into socialism and on into the communist utopia, and religion will die a natural death along the way. And so the government likes to paint a picture for her young people, for the young people of China, that the church is full of old gray-haired ladies that have no relevance to the current society, and that the government lets them do their little thing, but it actually has nothing to do with us. But in fact, the church is not dying a natural death, and large numbers of young people are coming to the gospel, and this is what's disturbing the government in China. You see, if they see a group of old ladies having a prayer meeting, they don't mind that. They might actually even take a classroom of young students to go visit that to prove their point. You see how irrelevant it is. It belongs to the last generation. It doesn't belong to a modern socialist society. But when revival comes to a large group of young people, And more young people are joining the church day by day, and they can't seem to recruit any to join the Communist Party. It's quite disturbing. And so you have to slow the growth of this thing somehow. And they're very concerned about the gospel being transferred to the next generation.
Sharon, I've had the privilege of sitting with a group of university young people in a house church in a major city next to one of the most prestigious universities in China. And in sharing with their worship and teaching and praise of Jesus Christ and so forth. And it was one of the most inspiring and awesome experiences of our lives. I'll never forget it. And I remember at the time thinking, we have a commitment to these young people. We've got to reach the young people and the children of China with the message of the gospel and get God's word into their hands.
That's awesome, Norm, that you share how that touched your heart. Those young people are so hungry for truth. I've seen that all over China. And the beautiful thing is the doors are wide open. People can stop praying for the bamboo curtain to come down and realize it's been down for a long time. And people who are willing to have an impact for our generation can go to China right now and give something significant to that need. Do you know there are more people in China today studying English than there are people in America? They are so hungry to learn English. It's the key to business, technology, medical science, banking, finance, international business. And with the WTO coming into full play, everywhere I went, believers were saying, I need to learn some English so I can go to the streets of Beijing and win the world that comes to the Olympics, you see. So people all over China are wanting to learn English. There are schools all over China begging for Americans to come and stand in their classroom day after day and relate to their young people, teaching them English. Now, you can't use it as a pulpit. You can't go preach the gospel in that classroom. But can you go there and love those kids and get in relationship with them and allow them to become curious about what the motivating force is in your life? And when they ask you, as we're told in the book of 1 Peter 3:15, I believe it is, and 16, to be ready to give an answer to everyone that asks of you the reason of the hope that lies within you with meekness and humility, you can do that. You can go to China today. And so I just want to encourage your listeners to consider if God isn't calling them to be involved in this great harvest amongst the young people in China.
Brother Michael, several of the people who traveled to China with us have done precisely that. It took one exposure to China, and they said, you know, we're willing to make whatever sacrifice is necessary to go and teach English in China, and they have done that. Let me just say this, that if there is someone listening right now, and I honestly hope there are thousands of you that will respond to this invitation, if you want to know what you need to do in order to help that happen, with Brother Michael's help, we will see to it that you get the information you need if you feel the Lord laying this opportunity on your heart to go to China and to teach English. We will help that to happen. That's a promise.
That's wonderful. That's how my wife and I first went to China. Not many people have the great privilege we've had of working with the house church leaders at the top levels all throughout China and going in and holding seminars with them in their own language. But the first step to that kind of ministry might be to go over there for a summer and teach English. That's what it was for us.
Well, write us or give us a call, and we'll see to it that you get the information you need. Brother Michael, I want to thank you for the privilege of sharing this time together. We met in China, and now we're sitting here in the United States and sharing microphones in our office. You have been a tremendous inspiration to us, and I know to our listeners, and I just want to thank you for sharing your stories and your passion for China, and I think a lot of hope for the future for the evangelization and the growth of the church in that great country, and in our country also. You've been a great blessing to me. I want to thank you for being here.
Thank you for the opportunity. You know, my heart beats for China, but my heart also beats for America. And just a last word I'd like to share with your listeners is that I was in China during the September 11th catastrophe, and I was with a group of house church leaders, and it was my privilege to see them as one man drop to their knees and pray with tears and fervency for America for 2.5 hours as they pleaded with the Lord to spare us, to direct our leaders, and to let this be a time that would return Americans to their deepest, greatest values that made us a great nation, and let us return to being a people that are all about the gospel. So they're praying for us as we're praying for them.
That's for sure. Again, Brother Michael, thank you for being with us, and God bless you. Well, my friend, I hope that you've been challenged and inspired by this 3-day series on the church in China. I know I've been. And if you have been, stay tuned and hear about how you can share in ministry to China.
And as we close things out for today, got two requests for you. Number one, pray for our Operation God's Word campaign and send your pledge for Bibles. $6 sends a Bible to a brother or sister in Christ in China who's desperate for their own copy. Number two, please remember to pray for this ministry and include a generous gift to keep us on the air. For as little as $6, you can place a copy of the Bible into the hands of a Chinese believer who's desperate for his or her own copy. $60 provides 10 Bibles, $90 provides 15 Bibles, and so on. Call today, 1-800-868-2478. That's 1-800-868-2478. And we're online at CompassionRadio.com. And friends, as we approach the end of the year, I cannot begin to tell you how important it is for us to hear from you at Compassion Radio. Not only in regards to supporting our compassion projects like Bibles for China, but also for simply keeping this program on the air each day. We're excited about what the future holds for this radio ministry, but we need your support now more than ever. Thanks in advance for your sacrificial giving. And by the way, if you haven't had the chance to take a look-see at our new website layout, please do. CompassionRadio.com. We'd love to get your feedback on it. CompassionRadio.com. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. That's Box 2770, Orange, California, 92859. And that toll-free number, 1-800-868-2478. That's 800-868-2478. We look forward to hearing from you. On behalf of Bram Floria, Cher Nelson, and the entire Compassion Radio team, I'm Jim Governale. Have a wonderful day in the Lord. And we'll see you again next time with more Compassion Radio.